Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We can get through this, but you have to do exactly what I say.
Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in.
All the filthy things must be there in your mind. But if you don't live there, there is no problem.
Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. Your host today, Tiss, co-host as always. Say hello.
Hello, this is Beef.
Hello, this is Bob Shoy.
How's it going? I don't really have to start off the episodes. It's been so long since I did my own one.
It's okay. Since the last time we recorded, we was recording on the floor, wasn't we?
Yeah.
And now we're on the floor, but we was on the floor in my old house.
Yeah.
What was the last episode I actually did?
Last one you did? Jonestown.
Oh, shit. That was fucking a long time ago.
My DM listened to that the other day.
Amazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. You listening?
So shout out to all the D&D crew in Rick's Garage.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a nightclub. Sounds like Rick's way cooler than it is.
Rick's Garage. It sounds like Rick and Morty.
R-I-X instead of...
Yeah. Sounds like Rick and Morty. Do you guys know what we're talking about today?
No, what are we talking about today?
I don't know. There's lots of different things that I want to show you guys. There's loads of different things I want to show you guys.
Anything. What's your title?
I don't know what the title is. That's the title.
By the end of the episode, but
I guess it's like, what is the mind? What's in the mind?
Okay.
You should be able to sum up all your objectives in the first
Too diffuse.
Do you want to call it what is the mind?
What is the mind?
By the end of the episode, you can change.
Or what's
your
mind. In the mind?
You can change your mind if you want. By the end.
So
of the
I'm going to do a kind of biop. Biop is that a thing?
What do you mean?
Biopic.
In what context?
Biopic. That's it. A biopic of Eckhart Tolle.
Of what?
Eckhart Tolle.
Okay, what's that?
He's an influential teacher, modern day.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart Tolle.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive. Yeah. And he talks a lot about The Power of Now. That's one of his books. And A New Earth. And it's all about consciousness. And
so this is like hippie stuff.
Well, I don't know.
Call it hippie stuff.
Hippie Tissy's stuff.
I'm going to call it Tissy's Hippie Hour.
Hippie. I thought it was a good book. Sorry, carry on.
It's amazing.
Is it your recommendation of the week?
Yeah, I'd recommend people to listen to it or read it. I listen
to it. Okay, The Power of Now.
It? Yeah, I have, yeah.
Read it now.
I haven't got any excerpts from the book because it's like a bought book, but I've got a few videos I want to show you guys. Mm-hmm. It's more of a discussion episode, really. It's like discussing what these guys are talking about.
Okay. You're going to throw some stuff at us and we're going to opine what we think about what you're
basically,
throwing at
us. Basically, you're going to throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly. Yeah. First of all, it was Tolle. Tolle really inspired me to make an episode because it's a really weird thing. It kind of resonates with me a lot. And I think it might resonate with our listeners.
By the way, this isn't what you told me you were going to do when we was in the beer garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it in the beer garden?
I can't remember.
Oh,
it wasn't.
You can't remember.
I can't remember. But
I swear it was Eckhart Tolle.
It would have.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you just said Eckhart Tolle, and I was like, I don't know what that is. Don't tell me anymore.
I think
and
you
I
did.
I thought
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like a monument.
Oh, no.
Like a toll bridge.
Eckhart Tolle sounds like an Egyptian monument, doesn't it?
I was thinking more like an Indian burial ground.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, specifically what I'm honing in on is
a mind.
There's this guy, and there's another guy I found last night when I was looking through videos, and they're kind of saying the same thing.
Right.
And it's all to do with the voice in your head. The one that you associate with.
Oh, we've talked about this a little bit before. We brought it up, like, who is it that is talking to you when you're thinking?
Yeah, yeah. So they're both saying that this is, well, actually one of them, Eckhart Tolle, is saying that it's the pain body, something called the pain body. And I'll play something that will explain that.
The pain body.
Better than I can. Okay, so I'll play a little clip of Eckhart Tolle and his history and how he became enlightened.
Okay, whet our appetite.
Now, isn't it interesting that you first came to recognize this when you were about to kill yourself?
Yes. Yes. Sometimes you have to reach a limit. Humans have to reach a limit. The human species as a whole is reaching that limit. Mm-hmm. But also on a personal level, sometimes people have to be pushed to the limit. My ego was so obstinate, I had to be pushed to the limit before it cracked open.
Well, share that moment that you talk about in the beginning of Power of Now.
Yes.
Feeling so much pain.
Dreadful suffering at night. I would often wake up in extreme feeling of dread and fear, consumed by dread and fear. The whole world seemed alien. And I saw the thought one night, I woke up again, the thought came, I can't live with myself any longer. I just can't live with myself any longer. It's so painful. And then suddenly something happened inside me and I looked at the thought. That was, of course, awareness. I didn't know that at the time what it was. I became aware of the thought and I said, I cannot live with myself. That's strange. So there must be I and there must be myself. Am I one or two? I seem to be two. Because if I can't live with myself, there must be two of me.
Well, yeah. And everybody has felt that. Everybody has felt or heard or heard you say to yourself, I said to myself.
Yes.
I said to myself.
Yes. And of course, the entire, what we call the voice in the head, we could also call it self-talk, mm-hmm. where you talk to yourself, and most people address themselves as you. So the voice says, you shouldn't have done that, or you should better.
Yes.
So there's a separation inside human beings, which is the essence of ego.
Right.
That there's here's an image of who I think I am, and then there's a me, and they get mixed up together.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted you that thought, though, but you said, I can't live with myself any longer.
Yes.
Said that several times in your mind.
And then I became aware of the structure of the sentence and said, if that's the case, then who is the self that I cannot live with and who am I?
Wow.
And all my thought processes, which were ego, would be, and it was all my thought processes which had created the dreadful suffering.
Mm.
This is very interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like thinking of yourself as two people. I didn't get what he was on about, and then it clicked on me like right at the end. When like, I can't live with myself, and he like reiterated it. It's weird to think of like your two beings living in harmony.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I getting the gist of this? So it's as a vessel and you as a conscious.
Well, kind of, yeah. What he's saying, and which he'll explain in the pain body bit, that it is, yeah, it's like there's an inner self, there's an inner thing that chatters a lot, mm-hmm. which is not self. But when we identify as ourself, that's when we start to become depressed or anxious, because the voice inside can sometimes be very mean, very critical of you. And if you identify that voice as you saying that you can't do this, you can't do that, then that's when you start to get emotions of anxiety and emotions of this or that. But if you don't identify with that voice that puts you down or anything like that, then that's when you find inner peace, because you're allowing that voice to chatter like it would another person, but you're not allowing it to dampen or affect your emotions, because your emotions are, you know, you're not affected by this voice. It's just a
unbreakable.
Yeah. The voice is unbreakable.
No, you're unbreakable.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And he's saying if you shine the light of awareness on this pain body, this voice,
Why does he call it a pain body?
I don't know why he calls it a pain body. It might...
Because is that because his inner voice, he used to associate that with pain, like his pain.
With pain,
self,
yeah.
His anxiety or...
He says that there's a pain body living in everyone.
Right.
And...
Don't you think that's just like Isn't it just like human nature to think negatively of yourself sometimes?
Yeah, everyone has doubts.
Everyone does that. Mm. Everyone doubts themselves, whether it's your looks, your abilities, what other people think of you is a massive one. And it's all just wasted thought, but it's just your conscious, I don't know.
Because if you didn't have doubt, you would just...
You'd be invincible.
You'd be a prick as well. Yeah, you'd be in a complete arse.
Yeah.
Because you would just automatically not... If you never thought of the negative thing, side effect of anything you did, you would think everything you were doing was good.
Mm.
So you would think you were great and everything you did was amazing and everyone else is wrong.
Mm. Well, I think for me, it's definitely this whole thought process stuff has increased a lot since Joel was born,
mm-hmm.
because I'm very conscious of everything I'm doing and how I'm communicating with him. And I think now, because like, everyone's a journalist, aren't they? Everyone likes writing an article or a blog or something.
Yeah.
And you can't help but kind of look at, particularly when his behaviour changes or something, I can't help but look at these articles online, which is probably the worst thing you can do. And so my thought process, now I'm not just being negative about myself, but I'm now doubting, not all the time, but I'm having doubts about what I'm, like, how I'm, not how I'm bringing him up, but how I'm communicating with him. And you're like, oh, am I doing this right? I'm not doing that.
Mm.
He's not developing properly and it's my fault. It's because I'm not doing this enough or I'm doing this too much. And it's, so I don't know. And then it just takes, like, as long as you voice those things and that you suddenly realize how stupid they are, it's only when you say them out loud, like you said. Mm. Like, sometimes I say things to Rachel, she's like, that's mental. He's 3 months old. He's not going to remember you, like, doing that.
Did you say a swear in front of him?
No, I can't think of an example, but we took him for his jabs last week. And I was very conscious. I don't want Rachel to hold him whilst he's having his jabs because it's quite traumatic. And you feel like this betrayal.
Right. Okay.
I'm having to hold him still.
You're like saying, hey, it's not going to hurt. And then you know it is. And he's going to hate it. And so you're lying to it, baby.
And the night before we took him, I had 5 dreams. And all of them involved me putting him in danger.
Mm.
Like, and choosing to put him and purposefully put him in danger. So I woke up a couple of times in tears through the night because it was that traumatic.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I told Rachel the next morning, she's like, I'm really sorry I had a bad night, but he's not going to... Do you remember your jabs?
No.
Like, no, of course I don't. She's like, he's not going to remember you doing that. So it's only when you voice them, you're like, oh yeah, that is really stupid. He's not going to remember any of this. So it's...
Mm.
Yeah. It's a really interesting topic.
You know what I keep dreaming about? Ever since I crashed my van last weekend. No, yeah, it's clean.
Good.
I keep dreaming on crashing cars.
Really?
I've had, in the last like 5 nights, 3 nights, I've dreamt I've crashed a car.
Really?
One of them was us 3 on holiday, doing a Weird Tales holiday episode. And we rented a car and I crashed the car. To be fair,
that nearly happened in Romania many times.
Yeah. Like, you guys were in the building and I was like, yeah, I just parked the car and I crashed it in the car park.
No way.
Yeah, and I just keep dreaming on crashing the car because I've never crashed a car. And then I drove into a parked car. And broke my van off moving day.
Wow.
To answer people who had seen it on Twitter and was going, what happened? I didn't have time to reply to everyone. I crashed my van and wrote it off while I was moving house.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Is that your first crash?
Yeah.
You've never had a crash or been in a car crash before then?
I've been in the van and my dad's like knocked the back of someone, but it wasn't like a big thing.
We drove away.
No, we didn't drive away. Good.
Yeah, okay.
That was the first time I've actually been in a crash where my front of my van was all like caved in.
Cool. I've been in 2.
Yeah, I know.
One was, well...
One during pod and one before pod. Your second...
Oh, my second one was recording pod. Was on the project. The first one was I was in someone else's car as a passenger in someone else's car, yeah. But anyway, sorry, Tis. Crack on.
That's cool. So, should I play this pain body thing? And we can have a little listen about the pain body.
Just,
I feel like whatever you say, we're going to keep going off on tangents because it's a tangent-filled thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I realised you played that clip and then we just went off on one.
That's great, though. Yeah. That is what it is, though. Like,
but yeah, it's like, it sparks.
It's kind of a half-discussion episode. It's kind of me putting into you guys these crazy things. And I think the listeners will really enjoy them because it's the same sort of stuff that we all enjoy.
The listeners always like the weird brain episodes.
Yeah. I just find it really interesting that these spiritual teachers are sort of talking... The way to enlightenment is to disassociate from the talking self. They say that it can be helpful, obviously, like, you know, it gives you signals of being cautious about things, you know, it's got many pluses, but what it is if the people identify with them, to the point where they're on high alert for everything that goes through there, rather than sort of filtering it by priority, then people can be addicted to being on high alert all the time. He actually said, which is a quite an unpopular belief, actually, but I've got to show both sides of him. One of the things that he does say about is action movies. He said they're made by pain bodies for pain bodies, because it's all the exhilaration of watching stuff that pulls your heartstrings and makes you sad, like thrillers, and make you jump, make you scared, stuff like that. Like, why do people like that?
And he's, I like films that give me any sort of emotion.
See, that's a bit too... Yeah. It's not unpopular, it's just a bit stupid for me. Like,
yeah.
It's an art form. It expresses every emotion.
Yeah, you enjoy what you go through.
If you write a cool story, you can't just be like, well, I'm not going to include that bit, though, because it might be a bit sad. No, it's part of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's more like... Yeah, I think he's just got a thing about action movies, but, you know, you got to take it all face value. I don't ever sort of subscribe to listening to someone, and if as soon as they say something bad, it's like, oh, fuck them, because it's like,
someone has a bad viewpoint, it doesn't change the good viewpoint they have.
Yeah, totally.
Good and bad can coexist at the same time. They don't, like, undo each other.
I think it's just, like, different walks of life. Like, for him, obviously, action movies probably weren't a big part of his thing, and maybe... You know, like, some people don't like marijuana, and for their own reasons, because it does this and that. But then other people do. It's like...
I don't like dance.
Dance.
What, yeah. Music?
Dance music.
Like, no, not dance music. Expression. Just dance, the art form.
Okay.
Anyone I've ever met who's really interested in dance annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
If I have any listeners, you might be interested in dance, and great, good for you. I might get on with you really well. But anyone I've ever met who likes... is into dance as a medium, I never get on with them. I'm always just like, oh, shut up. They're always a certain type. And it's like horsey people, but like that. And people who are into horses are always like real the same. Like, you guess that someone, oh, I bet they're into horses.
No, I know what you mean.
Tom doesn't like action movies. So he doesn't like horses.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't. My mum's a horsey person.
Horses for courses, I say.
Horses for courses.
Ballet.
Ballet. That's dancing,
isn't it? Ballet.
Yeah. Ballet. Opera.
I love Billy Elliot, the movie, though. You've seen
opera
that?
Opera is bollocks.
Opera.
People say if you don't like opera, you're like a philistine. It's what? Like, shut what? Up. You don't like that.
What about Oprah?
Oprah, that's fine.
What about an Oprah opera?
It'd be awful.
Well, let's put the pain body stuff on. Well,
yeah, let's listen to that.
As long as you are unable to access the power of the now, every emotional pain that you experience leaves behind a residue of pain that lives on in you. It merges with the pain from the past, which was already there, and becomes lodged in your mind and body. This accumulated pain is a negative energy field that occupies your body and mind. If you look on it as an invisible entity in its own right, you're getting quite close to the truth. It's the emotional pain body. It has two modes of being, dormant and active. The pain body may be dormant 90% of the time. In a deeply unhappy person, though, it may be active up to 100% of the time. Anything can trigger it, particularly if it resonates with a pain pattern from your past. Even a thought or an innocent remark made by someone close to you can activate it. Some pain bodies are obnoxious but relatively harmless, for example, like a child who won't stop whining. Others are vicious and destructive monsters, true demons. Some are physically violent, many more are emotionally violent. Some will attack people around you or close to you, while others may attack you, their host. Thoughts and feelings you have about your life then become deeply negative and self-destructive. Illnesses and accidents are often created in this way. Some pain bodies drive their hosts to suicide. Watch out for any sign of unhappiness in yourself, in whatever form. It may be the awakening pain body. This can take the form of irritation, impatience, a somber mood, a desire to hurt, anger, rage, depression, a need to have some drama in your relationship, and so on. The pain body wants to survive, just like every other entity in existence, and it can only survive if it gets you to unconsciously identify with it. It can then rise up, take you over, become you, and live through you. It needs to get its food through you. It will feed on any experience that resonates with its own kind of energy, anything that creates further pain in whatever form. Anger, destructiveness, hatred, grief, emotional drama, violence, and even illness. So the pain body, when it has taken you over, will create a situation in your life that reflects back its own energy frequency for it to feed on. Pain can only feed on pain. The pain body, which is the dark shadow cast by the ego, is actually afraid of the light of your consciousness. It is afraid of being found out. Its survival depends on your unconscious identification with it, as well as on your unconscious fear of facing the pain that lives in you. But if you don't face it, if you don't bring the light of your consciousness into the pain, you will be forced to relive it again and again. So the pain body doesn't want you to observe it directly and see it for what it is. The moment you observe it, feel its energy field within you and take your attention into it, the identification is broken. A higher dimension of consciousness has come in. I call it presence. You are now the witness or the watcher of the pain body. This means that it cannot use you anymore by pretending to be you. And it can no longer replenish itself through you. You have found your own innermost strength. You have accessed the power of now.
Okay. I'm glad we stopped there because I've got, like... Do you feel like...
I kept thinking of things to say and then it went on and I was like, oh, I forgot the other thing I was going to say.
I can't buy into any of that. It's too oversimplified for me. Like, it's... Okay. I get what he's saying, but it's like negative organs, isn't it? It's like... It sounds to me like he's saying that pain is a negative. It's too negative and we must rid ourselves of it. It's something that we can't gain anything from it. We can't experience any positive outcomes from pain whatsoever. So we must be conscious of it, but not feed it. And if we feed it, then we're going to want to give pain to other people. And like, it's just so oversimplified. Like, I kind of get what he means, but he's basically saying there's nothing to gain from pain. There's nothing to gain at all.
Mm.
Well, that's what I understood from it. I couldn't help but think of, I was like, he's basically talking about, Inside Out. Where you've got sadness, okay, yeah. And we don't let sadness touch that because we can't let it taint the memory.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you look at, there's quite a lot of, quite philosophical, the
is
film.
Is this your recommendation of the week, Inside Out?
Inside Out, yeah. If you like that kind of stuff. If you like
it's a great film.
It's a really good film. It's a really good film. If you don't like Pixar films, don't watch it. But, yeah, I just think it's... I was trying to think of the pain that I've experienced in the past. And like, what did I get anything from that? And I couldn't think of anything that's happened to me that hasn't...
But he's also saying you can't let it... You can't feed it. If you've got a painful presence in you...
Well, yeah, but that, surely that's just...
You can't feed it, you can't linger on it.
Well, no, but surely...
it's going to want to keep growing and then overtake you.
Well, it depends. That's far too vague. Like, it depends on what it is. If it's like... I don't know, I can't think of an example, but it's too vague. If it's like something which every time you think about it, all it does is consume you with like rage or something, then yeah, it's probably not too healthy to linger on it. But sometimes it's healthy to linger on things and to think it through because it helps you develop your thinking, I think.
Where's he from, can I just ask?
I think it's Austria or Germany.
Right, okay. Well, listening to him talking then, is that an extract from a book or...?
Yeah, I think so, maybe.
Is like audio?
It just says about pain body, and it was like a YouTube video.
Mm. It felt like an extract from a book.
Yeah.
Like a self-help book or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It was mega hypnotic.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was in a trance. I don't know how long that video was, but I felt like I was in a trance.
6 minutes?
It was like... it's hard to put across what I mean. Like, it's like you would listen to it if you were feeling depressed. And it was like hypnotizing you to like not linger on things that are making you down.
Yeah. I think I couldn't help but think, and I hate that I'm using this as a reference, but of Peep Show when Jez joins the cult.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, and he says to Mark, he's like, well, how can you explain all the negativity in the world, Mark? And he's like, well, I can't. There's too many historical, social, cultural like constraints. I can't. And he's like, exactly. He's like, well, you also can't boil it down to negative organs.
Can I bring theology into this?
Yeah, sure.
when we recorded, you're going to be like, I can't believe you're going back to this.
Okay.
Because you got really annoyed that I kept going back to it anyway.
Okay.
When we recorded the fear episode,
right,
you guys all ganged up on me because I said that hatred has an equal standing as every other emotion, and you all said that hatred didn't and it should be squashed out and never,
yeah,
never given any recognition to. But you're saying, oh no, you shouldn't do that for any emotion just now, when you said about fear. What was it? What was it?
Yeah.
Fear.
Negativity
and fear and sadness. And you're saying it's like inside out, you need a balance. That's no, what I was trying to say with hatred.
We both said things. I don't think we either of us made it particularly clear when we were talking about fear. Like, because you, I think we both, like, me and Dan both said afterwards, like, no, we didn't mean there's no room for hatred. We just meant that I feel like love is greater than fear.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I don't think there's... I'm not saying you should... Like, hatred, again, it's a very complex issue, isn't it? It depends on what your hatred is. If your hatred is... let's say someone, like, murdered your girlfriend or your wife or something, right? I guess, like, if you had that hatred and you were lingering on the person that did it and it kind of consumed you to the point where it ruined your life, then that is something you should talk through with a counsellor.
Right.
He's simplifying it to don't dwell on it at all.
But he's certainly not to linger on things if it brings you down.
But again, lingering on it, lingering for how long? Because if you're lingering, like going through counselling means you linger on stuff, but it helps you unlock your thinking a bit and it helps you understand why you think the way you do.
So you think he's just being like, don't think about that, ignore that.
I don't know. He wasn't really saying that, was he? He wasn't really saying, oh, don't, pain's awful. He's just saying, like, we need to be aware that our pain body exists. But I think it's, emotion is too complex.
Okay.
For you to...
I'm just testing how much I can push you, because I know next week I'm going to be pushing you with my next episode.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be planned out as, like, Bob versus Beef. Tiss is going to have to, like, moderate it.
Really? Okay.
That's a little teaser for the next episode.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of... it's
where do you... Hang on a sec. We've been waffling on. Where do you stand on it, Tessie?
I think it's really interesting. I can definitely relate.
It's definitely interesting.
It's all about meditation, isn't it? That's what it's like. It's like meditation on and quieting the monkey mind, as Buddhists call it. The monkey mind, yeah, they call it the monkey mind. If you're behaving unconsciously, so without using the presence of now and methodical thought, like, on what you're doing, then you're just in autopilot. But they call it the monkey mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that unconscious behavior leads to allowing this monkey mind to be too strong to the point where you can't control, you know, it chattering and stuff like that. But peace is...
Example I'm going to give for monkey mind.
Yeah.
Am I getting this right? Say you're all sitting around talking. This is something that niggles me. Like, say I'm talking to my girlfriend and... or we're watching a film or something. And we're sitting there. And while we're watching it, she unconsciously, like, grabs her phone and, like, has to check something on her phone. Unconsciously. Is that monkey mind?
Yeah.
And it's not good.
It's the monkey mind stopping her from being at peace.
Yeah.
It's because just, like relax, you said...
enjoy this popcorn, watch this movie, we're chilling out.
Yeah.
You don't need that monkey mind distraction.
Like you said about the pain body as well, it comes through when possibly you're bored or agitated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. It's unconsciously grabbing for something that will comfort you and repetitive behaviour, whereas a peaceful mind is one that's concentrating on what you're doing fully.
I always feel like
to the
I'm
point
very...
of full...
sure on what I'm doing all the time. Like, I'm always doing something with a purpose. I'm never... I would say I'm very... almost never. I'm going to go on the record and say I'm always never relying on my monkey mind. I'm always certain of what I'm doing. I think that's why I notice other people doing things more as well. Because I'm like, I would never do that. I would do that. I don't do that. Whatever. Because I just... I'm sure. But at the same time, I would say that I'm not at peace at all.
So is monkey mind procrastination?
Yeah, but how do you know that your monkey mind isn't more methodical than others? That could be your monkey mind that's on the ball.
Is that right, though? Is that true self? Because if it doesn't, is monkey mind procrastinating?
Monkey mind is like habit forming things that aren't necessarily good for you.
Well, it's the thing that stops you from enlightenment, really, as well. Right. Like when you're meditating,
doing things without purpose, isn't it? It's like mindlessly doing things.
Well, that's unconscious. Things that are that's the unconscious mind. That one. That's the unconscious mind.
So many minds.
But it's all the same, I guess. But I guess whatever the thing is that's stopping
you... It's just different names of things in different cultures.
Yeah, yeah. The Buddhists would call the monkey mind the one that is stopping you when you're trying to meditate. If you're... Say you're sitting in the room, total silence.
Yeah.
And you're breathing and trying to meditate and your mind goes off onto this or off onto that, which happens all the time in meditation. Takes a lot of practice. A lot of practice. So your mind will be, you know, you'll be still for a little bit. Then after about 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, be like, oh, I'm having for tea tonight. Oh, shit, have I done that? Oh, is that... You know what I mean, it always tries to come in with something relevant. And, you know, you can get lost in that thought. Sometimes people do. But that's the monkey mind. So to keep the monkey mind...
What one's getting on at all time?
It's the one that is trying to distract you from... being still and not thinking.
Okay, so maybe I do have monkey mind because my brain is never quiet. It's always like, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's like a constant checklist of things
that is
all the time.
Monkey mind, yeah. So that chattering, to stop that chattering in meditation, what they do, in fact, there's a really good video about it. It's really short as well. It's basically you give the monkey mind a task rather than thinking about how to cure cancer or whatever. You just say... Monkey mind, concentrate on breathing.
Oh, in. This is how I went
out.
I ran into a trick for my monkey mind
because
this is how I sometimes really struggle with getting sleep. And actually, one of the worst examples I had this was when we was in Transylvania. Oh, I didn't sleep for the last like 2 nights we were there. I just laid on the bed and I was knackered on the last day. But a way that I really found to help me get to sleep was to make my brain, you know, people say counting sheep.
Yeah.
I realize that's just like an idea. It's not literally like count sheep. It's like give your brain something to do to distract it.
To stop it.
Yeah. And do you know what the one that worked for me is? I would make my brain start from the beginning of The Phantom Menace and try and remember the plot to The Phantom Menace. It's so incohesive.
Yeah.
I love Star Wars. But The Phantom Menace is just that plot is all over the place.
And
if I lay in bed, if I ever have trouble sleeping, I actually do go to this quite a lot. It's like, think of opening a Phantom Menace. Okay, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are on the Senate ship. I'm already getting like lost on that. And then what are they doing there? And why are they there?
Is that going to put you to sleep there? Or is that just going to be like, oh, fuck this.
Okay, follow the plot of Phantom Menace. Like, it always works.
Well, see, I've discovered mine. See, obviously, with...
Do you
not watch it just in case you get so good at it that you stay awake and you have to think of another film?
As much as I love Star Wars, I'm not a big fan of Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I've probably seen The Phantom Menace more than any other Star Wars film.
Well, in your mind as well.
Yeah, because I'm obsessed with it. I'm just like baffled about how it came to be. Like, I actually kind of have a fondness for Phantom Menace. I've grown to love it because of this.
That's like me and Don't Mess With The Zohan. I don't understand. It's a terrible film, but I fucking love it. It's terrible.
Don't Mess With The Zohan.
I watched it when I was on acid once, and it's the worst film. The worst film. But I love it. I love it.
No one has ever said, Don't Mess With The Zohan.
That's Adam Sandler, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is me. You know, you were talking about Adam Sandler. Anyone that can't, like... Anyone who loves Adam Sandler is like, no, I've got no time for that.
I grew up with him, though. I can't help it. I've been indoctrinated.
The amount of times I come home drunk or like go out for dinner and have some dinner, probably when I've been out with you guys before, we go out for dinner, we go to Akasaka, have some sake, I get back and I watch Phantom Menace. And I'm watching it with like, why did he do that? Like, I watch it with the commentary on. I watch it with... There's multiple commentaries. I've watched it with multiple commentaries on.
But that's how I feel with Zohan. I pick it to pieces, how they filmed it. You can literally, if you try really hard, you can watch the film and the facade drops and you're just looking at Adam Sandler in a studio surrounded by props. And it's just like, what is going on? Like,
I watch those films like that because I'm like, this is... I watch things with a very editorial eye now because I'm trying to get into editing. And I just look, that is so badly edited. This is a big budget movie. Like, I watched the Ghostbusters movie that came out last year, the shit one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's shit. I hated it. But I was watching it just thinking, I reckon with my limited experience, I could cut this film better than this. It's so badly edited. People's reactions when it cuts them and people say stuff don't even match what's being said and stuff. It's like...
It's like when music videos don't follow the music. Yeah. It's just like, what is your fucking... You had one job.
See, mine, you talking about playing The Phantom Menace in your head. See, yeah. I never really had trouble sleeping. But now, obviously, since Joel's been born, I'm waking up through the night quite frequently. It depends what's going on. And, like, Rachel could... She can sit on her phone, she can write an email, she can read a bit of a book, she can stimulate her brain a lot, and it doesn't affect her at all. Like, she can just straight back to sleep. Oh, you
need relaxation for
you. I can read.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I can read a book, that's enough, okay? But, so for example, the first few weeks when Joel was really little, obviously we would both be awake for, like, nearly an hour before he'd then go back to sleep. So once Rachel had fed him and we changed him, all that kind of stuff. And I started doing the same thing. I was like, well, I may as well just play a game on my phone or something. You know, like, oh, what am I going to do for 45 minutes? Like, well, sometimes we just stick Netflix on or whatever. And I found I couldn't... That stimulated my brain so much I couldn't go back to sleep. So I then started to think, I was like, I'm going to have to think of something that I can do to keep my brain occupied to get me back to sleep. And I started thinking about episodes of different... like TV dramas that I'd seen that I really enjoyed, or films I'd seen, and telling myself why I like them, or like,
oh wow.
So like I did it last night. So last night was probably my favourite episode of any TV show I've ever seen in my life.
I know you're gonna say Game of Thrones,
but it was. I was kind of expecting, you know, I'd seen on Twitter a few American people like, it's the best episode. I'm like, well, is it? You know, genuinely. In terms of, like, I kept watching it, I kept turning to Rachel, I was like, how, this is so, the way they've directed this is amazing. Like, and it's the way they tell this story within a story, and, like, you could see all the energy they went into and all the effort. And I watched the, like, the making of this, of it's like a 20-minute piece, this battle. And I watched the making of it, I was like, man, the amount of work they went to make that look, because you just imagine it now, you're like, oh, that's just green screen, isn't it? But so I do that now. So like last night I was watching, I was like, oh, when she comes in on that dragon, and I just start telling myself what I like about the
spoilers. I know what Game of Thrones people are like.
Well, watch it on time. If you like something, watch it on time.
No, I won't have that. I hate that.
This is the battle, because I knew this would trigger Bob. I'm on Bob's side. I don't understand.
I knew Game of Thrones.
I don't like Game of Thrones. I do like Walking Dead, but they're the two most shows where, if you're not watching it, there it comes out, you're fucked.
Yeah.
The people are just like running over the plot on Twitter. I know what happened in Game of Thrones. I've only watched like 8 episodes of my fucking life.
I've kept up with it by accident through not watching.
You can't help but know what is happening in that. And people are like, oh, watch it on time then. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
And half the people are pirating it when it's on telly in America before it's even here. And they're still fucking talking about it.
Yeah.
Then if I wanted to watch it legally, I'm fucked.
Yeah. If you wanted to watch it legally and wait like 2 days, you're fucked.
I just never post spoilers about anything.
If you want to watch Illegally and you work nights, you're fucked.
I bleeped out a spoiler for No Country for Old Men on our podcast from last week.
That came out like 10
years
ago.
Yeah, I would as well.
Exactly.
I would as well.
We talked about the...
Especially like, things that are great.
On a recommendation. I don't want to ruin the fact that...
Yeah. Like if I revealed the ending of... like if I revealed the ending of Breaking Bad now...
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, well, you should have watched it. Like,
yeah. Oh, the show's 5 years old. Like,
that
so what?
Stopped people from enjoying a great moment in TV history.
No, I'm also with you. I just thought I'd say it because right, I thought I'd get you in it.
I'm going to cut you agreeing with me.
Oh, I'm going to play this quick clip of the Buddhist monk explaining meditation.
Okay. Because
it's kind of a...
Just stop us on this tangent because we...
Bit of a tangent, but I mean, it's just nice to listen to this because I really like it.
Okay. Fair enough.
I really like it.
We can meditate everywhere, anytime. Even 3 seconds, 2 seconds, while you're walking, while you're having coffee and tea, while you're having meeting, so you can meditate. Many people has a little bit misunderstanding about meditation. They think meditation meaning think of nothing, concentrate. So push too much. So we cannot block thought and emotion. In fact, we need thought and emotion. So whether you listen to your monkey mind or not, that's the issue. What I call monkey mind, mine is chatting, you know, pala 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 yada yada. So monkey mind is giving you opinion.
That image.
So whether you listen to opinion or not.
Like that image, if you'd have shown me that image, I would have got immediately what monkey mind was.
Yeah.
The
monkey in the head.
Just your head, like, giving you fucking...
All the people who actually want to see these images, Don't forget, if you go on the website weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, all these videos are on there.
Woo! Mine is giving your opinion. So whether you listen to opinion or not, it's up to you, right? So through meditation, what we do is we have to make friends with the monkey mind. But how to make friends? Just giving banana doesn't work, you know. So right method is you need to give job to monkey mind. How to give job monkey mind? So the simple meditation technique is be aware of the breath. So you ask monkey mind, hello, what's breath? So monkey mind says, ah yeah, good idea. And be aware of breath. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in. There's a lot of thought comes at the background. Don't care, no problem. So as long as if you're not forget your breath, anything is okay. No need too much concentration. Just simply be aware of your breath. Breathe in, out, in. Even two breath, one breath. So therefore, we can meditate everywhere, anytime.
Cool.
I like that video.
It's cool, isn't it? A really cool monk.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
Yeah, made it kind of cleared it all up, isn't it, really.
Has that answered all your questions about meditation?
Really, I simplifies
about meditation, but you do think of it as.
But like he said as well, he was identifying this other, this monkey mind, but also he said that, like you said, emotions sometimes are useful. If you totally just go, no, I won't listen to emotions, then sometimes you don't make the right decisions. But I think what Eckhart as well is kind of saying is, listen to the emotions like you would a friend's advice, but don't identify like whatever that thing says goes. Like, don't identify with it saying, like, because if you identify with it, you're at the mercy of whatever it suggests, rather than if you treat it as a sort of other, it gives you advice, but then you can say, you know, but I don't know who's saying, you know, because they're probably the same thing. But
so what he's saying as well, back to Toll.
Yeah.
He's saying that within our being, there's, what did he call it?
Pain body. Pain body.
Pain body. And let's just call it reg body.
Yeah.
And your reg body is like, you should not listen to pain body because it's trying to overtake you.
Yeah.
How about if reg body's the one in the wrong?
Well, I guess the true. But the pain body is the one that leads you towards harming yourself, suicide, angry behaviour, any social behaviour. So it's basically the pain body. I got it wrong in my head. The pain body, from what he said, because I'm still getting through it myself, is it's not quite always present, but it jumps up at those times where you sort of lose control a bit, or you get a bit too angry, or, you know, you snap.
He even said about, like, when you're irritable.
Yeah, when you snap, you just sort of...
I'm irritable all
little,
the time.
Little anything,
I get,
yeah.
I get really shitty all the time.
You just did at me, like, 5 minutes ago.
There you go. So that was your pain body.
That was playful, though.
That was
horrible to live with.
Yeah. But that is it. It's your pain body. I'm neither confirming nor denying. I've never lived with you.
It's like Becca's been texting or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You hear about it.
Becca's listened to it like, fucking A. I can't remember what I was saying now. So yeah, that would be the pain body. And it might be the voice in your head that is, I don't know, I can't even think of an example.
But this is what I'm trying to get my head around. Is he saying there's two voices in your head?
No.
Or is he saying there's the voice
the only
in your head,
voice in your head is the pain body?
Is the voice in your head and there's you? Or is there two voices in your head?
There is a voice in your head. I kind of cross in beliefs because this was a different dude that said about the monkey mind.
Yeah. So his, I know, I'm talking about pain body. Yeah.
No. Is it that your inner voice, the voice in your head is your pain body and everything else is you, or is it?
I'd say, like, it's all part of the same thing, but the pain body is the one that manifests through your negative emotions.
So is that your soul?
No, I'd say, I don't know.
It's like,
soul is a loaded term, isn't it? Because I don't know what.
It's like when you see in cartoons and someone's got the devil and the angel on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Take away the theological aspect of that and it's just two people.
Pain body and yourself.
Pain body and self.
Yeah, I'd say.
Hmm.
I'd say so.
And the pain body, like, you shouldn't listen to that devil. And he's like, eh, just cut her up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just cut her up. That's what you went to.
Not in a car. I'm talking about with a knife.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Could you give me an example of when
you're hacking a corpse.
When you're irritable.
When I'm irritable. Yeah, yeah. Can I give you an example?
Give you an example.
No reason. No reason. I just come in, I can be like shitty for no reason.
Okay, but what? There must be something. There must be...
I know when I do it, because I normally apologise. I'm like, oh, I've been a dick for the last hour.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But would it be... Okay, so you'd come in from work.
Yeah.
Imagine something was left on the side.
No, I thought that was it. I come in from work. I'm irritable.
Yeah, yeah. But what would you be irritable? It's almost like... What would you be irritable about?
It's almost like I expect people to read my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, sometimes I don't want anyone near me.
Okay, so
if someone comes near me or I don't want anyone near me, I'm like, oh, what's the... Like, I'm like, irritable. Can you just leave me alone? Like... Automatically, I'm like irritable and snappy.
So there you go. So you'd say the pain body would be the thing inside you which is telling you that it's unacceptable that this behaviour is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the person who's giving you the advice, sort of unconsciously, saying, you know, it'd be the thing in your head that makes you snap. That goes, why is she so close to me? What? And then you snap.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's that thing that's giving you the bad advice because yourself like, would just be like,
I don't want anyone near me right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that.
It's the,
but that, isn't that, that was an example of when I was being irritable. So that, I was trying to cook. I just wanted to get on with cooking because I'd have stuff in my head.
So there'd be something in your head that would trigger, which would immediately your pain body would be like, too close, this is getting ridiculous. And then, bang, snap.
Every time we have one of these like discussion episodes or brain episode or anything, it always comes into a, like an evaluation of all my issues.
That's because you make it like that.
Target, yeah. No, I think the amount of emails I get from people are like, I'm really concerned about you, Bob.
No way.
Yeah,
amazing.
But don't you think there's other factors that come into play here? Like, you can't just always be down to your pain body, because sometimes you're irritable because you're tired or you're hungry.
Okay, but
that's how habits form. Habits form, you go to your habit when you're...
For me, it's almost like, you know, I said I always know exactly what I want to do. I've always got a purpose. I'm always like, this is what I'm doing. Mm. If it's like, it's almost like, can't you see this is what I'm doing? Like, this is what, why haven't you got your purpose going on right now? Mm. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm.
I expect everyone to work the same way I do.
Who expects?
I expect the way I do is the proper way you should be doing things.
Who expects? You or the pain body expects?
Oh, fuck that. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm overanalyzing myself when we do this because I'm like, do I do this or am I just saying this now?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't remember.
It's just, I guess, an example.
But what I don't understand, right, so how do you get from that process of, so you're saying when you, okay, so if I have an example, like if it's taken me a long time to get Joel to sleep and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm really tired.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can get, you can't help but get irritable. You get a bit like, ah. All right, so
yeah,
when you get the like,
we know, mate, we know.
Yeah,
just me in the corner, like, yeah, this is me fucking slagging you both off. Like,
yeah, was counselling,
yeah, finally.
Me and Beaver are for counselling.
Yeah,
get into the heart of it. I'm joking. Carry on.
Especially because listeners can't see the setup with like Tiss is sitting in the corner of the room, and me and Beaver like leaning up against the sofa.
Yeah, yeah, cozying up.
Okay, Beef, give me an example.
This is like our little pain body on our shoulder. Yeah. Our monkey mind.
I'm the pain body.
Carry on, Beef.
Come on.
So you, like, when, like, so there are times where, like, he'll be asleep in my arms. And so, like, basically, there's like a test you can do to make sure a baby's completely asleep, like in a deep, sound sleep.
Screaming his face. Like,
well, you could do that. But the main thing you do is if you can pick up a baby's arm and drop it, if it drops and
it's like boxing.
Like, sorry. If you drop it and it's just a dead weight,
right,
and there's no resistance,
right,
then they're completely asleep.
Right, okay,
completely like out. So like, there'll be times where you can do that, and then I'll go to put him in his cot and his eyes are like bang wide awake, and you're like, how is that possible that you can be that asleep and then that awake?
And what happens?
So immediately then my thought process like jumps, because I'm tired and because I'm like, it's endurance, isn't it? When you've been enduring something and persevering, it does get tiring, and it wears your patience down.
Yeah.
You can then,
it's life, mate. Life wears you down.
Yeah, but then you get a choice, don't you? So your choice, like, I could either choose to get really stressed
Yeah.
with Joel,
which you do,
Yeah, because you're there at 4
in the
morning.
That's what you were worried about remembering earlier when you got really stressed there when you were going to sleep.
You learn how to like manage that, don't you? Like you
but that's it. You're fighting. Yeah, but you're maybe resisting the pain body thing because you've got yours in control.
Whereas
I haven't, so I.
Not all the time.
I do notice.
Not all
it.
The time. Obviously, I get stressed and.
So I'd say, like, that situation, your pain body could rise up and you go, oh, for fuck's sake. And, oh, why is this happening? Oh, this is annoying. So that's the pain body. It's feeding off the opportunity. Even though you're tired, that is the perfect time for the pain body to pounce.
Oh, you're allowed to feel fucked up sometimes.
Like,
I'm not saying that.
How relieving is it to
no
just feel
perfect.
Like, oh, fucking
but he's
hell.
Not saying that, like. This is
even at an innocent.
Everyone
party.
Should be like Grey on the omnibus eating Grey sludge. He's just saying that the way to peace is this. Like, it's not easy and it's not conventional, but this is the way to enlightenment.
Right?
Yeah.
Everyone who's enlightenment.
That's one opinion.
That's
yeah, yeah.
It's his opinion.
But people
who are enlightened are like that. Like the Dalai Lama, you couldn't piss him off. I bet.
Yes, you could.
Or if you did, he'd have a reason.
He'd laugh, and then just annoy you.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah. I just think. I agree with the concept.
Jesus,
concept.
What about Jesus? Do you think Jesus got pissed off?
Well, this is what I'm getting to.
Okay. Did he?
Yeah.
When he slaughtered all them pigs.
No, because when Judas fucking told on him like five times.
No, we've done this before, haven't we? He got angry at the disciples a few times.
Did he?
We talked about the time he cleared the temple. People were selling in the temple.
Yeah, and he went, right, get out.
Why was this?
Well, yes.
Huh?
Why was that?
Tax.
They were.
I think that's what he said.
They were tax.
Get out, you. Famous quote from the Bible.
I think that was Jesus' pain body coming out.
No, yeah, so, yeah, that does...
Didn't he hate taxes?
No. Didn't he hate taxes?
Did he hate taxes? Was he Robin Hood?
I don't know where I'm getting this from. I thought he hated banks.
No.
Hey, Jesus.
No. No, Jesus said you should pay your taxes.
Oh.
He said you give to Caesar. He says give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Because people say, oh... Should we be given to the church or should we be given to Caesar?
Right.
And he's like, well...
I thought, but, oh, is that why he got annoyed? People refusing to pay their fair share?
No.
What
he got annoyed in the
temple for them?
What was Jesus' leanings?
Trade and stuff. People using the temple to trade.
Oh, that's it. They were selling stuff in a holy place.
So people would be coming... Basically, people would be coming from
they
miles
weren't
around.
Banks.
People would be coming from miles around to trade... And that would mean that people can use the temple for the reason.
Yeah, but he probably didn't let he probably cleared the temple, that's fair enough, but he probably didn't let it affect him. He probably didn't go up to him and go, not now. He'd probably go up to him and be like, yeah, like, I just cleared the temple, like I'm chilled.
Well,
totally at peace with what I just
well,
did.
Well, no, because Jesus...
In the Bible, did it say, oh, Jesus had a right cob on for the rest of the day? He had the dog. He had the right dog on.
Well, yeah, because he was fully human, so he got
fully.
Let me explain. You know, there are times in.
Do you feel
in
like
the Gospels,
you're trying to teach a like a children about theology?
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to walk out in a minute.
I personally think that. Yeah, but then again, young Jesus.
Young
might
Jesus.
Have, young Jesus, Y-U-N-G, might have lost his cob a bit. But then old
that's
Jesus.
What we didn't hear about him.
You didn't
hear about Jesus before his 30s, do you?
Is that what it is? 30s?
Yeah, 33 is when he did all his good stuff.
Fucking hell, I've got years left. I could be the second coming. I'm not. I think I personally think Jesus didn't have the cob on when he was enlightened. I think it was before he was fully enlightened. I think he knew what he was doing and he was intelligent.
He got the cob on.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, not now because it would take too long, but I'll send you.
A few YouTube clips of Jesus losing his shit.
Right, it's fucking shit on his face.
Riding a moped for a field.
Anyway, let's get back on track. I agree with the concept. I understand that what he's saying is the way to inner peace is to work on your peace in like actively by like not necessarily completely ignoring your pain, but acknowledging it and managing it all the time. But that's ludicrous. No one can do that. No one's perfect. You're going to have to react from your pain at some point.
It's a bit robotic to say ignore.
Yeah, you can't. No one can function like that. If you function like that all the time, it would go mad.
Don't let them overcome you.
I mean,
Sorry to interrupt, but I feel like he's got some really good messages. But it's almost like messages for people who aren't going to think for themselves.
But don't you find
that... Just find your own balance. And it's like, if you can't find your own balance, okay, just listen to this, and he's going to tell you to ignore all the bad stuff.
But like you said before, sometimes, like, I can't give an example, but sometimes it feels really good just to just tell someone to fuck off.
Yeah, just fuck off.
Just, no.
You know the example, or like, Finchy.
Chris, why don't you fuck off?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How good did that feel? When he walks away from that, he's like,
yeah, man.
Or Superhands.
Peep Show.
Whoops.
Right, that is it, Hands. Fuck off. Just fuck off, all right?
He's like, he had it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it's who you are, isn't it? I feel more empowerment from killing people with kindness.
Do you know what empowered me when I left my neighbour?
What?
The one that I hated and didn't like me.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything to her. Just left. Just there you go. One day.
There you go. So there you go. So the fuck off wasn't necessary. No. You got as much empowerment from rising above. So what I think about Eckhart Tolle is, but what I think about all influential teachers, I've seen so many over the past few years because they really interest me, is that the thing is when they get disciples and followers, they always ask them, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I think the real question for these guys is, how do they think? What do they do? And then apply it to your life in your own way, rather than go, oh, well, he does this in this situation, so he's talking shit. Like, I think a lot of the stuff he says is kind of like quite conservative. Like, I don't think he's a vegan. Probably doesn't take drugs.
No, it's not for you then.
This is for me. Like, you know, I take what I need from what he's got enlightenment from and go, okay, so that's what enlightenment looks like for him. I think enlightenment looks different for everyone.
That's exactly what I was saying earlier about, like, as soon as someone says something bad, people just think that person's bad. You can say something good afterwards, and that as a separate point, and it might still be valid.
Yeah, totally.
You can't just take one thing that someone says as like representing them as a person.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I think Trump's a complete tool, but if he said something good, I wouldn't be like, that's wrong.
I'd be
like, that's a good point though.
Yeah.
Like, you got to give everyone a fair point. You can't follow any one person blindly.
No, that's it. That's what I think. Like when I watch some of these videos, they've always got lots of followers, and they sort of indoctrinate themselves into that thinking. It's like,
it's the main problem. I know we've said it before, but with Dawkins' disciples.
Yeah.
People just blindly follow Richard Dawkins because he said, I'm an atheist. And then everyone who was an atheist went, oh, I'm that too. I'm going to follow everything this guy says. Like,
yeah.
Or you could have your own opinion.
That's it, yeah.
You've got to pick the meat from the bones. If you take the bones as well, then it's obviously going to...
You're
going to
choke.
Exactly, and I think I used to really struggle with this guy that I worked with. He was just a complete prick, like all the time. I couldn't stand every time I saw him. I felt on an edge.
Did you feel like hatred really towards him?
No, I just felt like I just feel like oh god. And then one day his wife and kids came into the office because they were like all going out for the evening. And I saw him with his kids, and I was like, oh, he's a really good dad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can't just tar
everyone with the same thing.
I think same shitty stick.
This is the problem with the age of the internet, though. People are just so quick to jump. Someone says one bad thing, and everyone's going to jump on them, and they're ruined forever.
Yeah, I saw a really... So there's been the World Athletics this week, and Justin Gatlin ran the 100-meter final and won, and it was... Usain Bolt's last race ever, so he's now retired from athletics, and Gatlin won the gold, and there's this big debate because he was found to be on drugs twice,
right.
And I think he was banned from running for like 2 years or something. So he ran the race and was booed by the whole stadium, and then there was this big debate on Twitter, and Brian Moore, who used to play rugby for England, he was like, yeah, but he's done his time. So he's come back now and he's won the race. Like, he's done his time, just leave him alone. And everyone jumped on him and they, like, completely slagged him off. Even to the point of a few people were slagging off his rugby career. And he's like, that's completely separate. I've said one thing that you disagree with, and now you disagree with everything I've ever done. Like, you're right, everyone's so quick to jump on, and there was one person on... I haven't unfriended anyone on Facebook ever, apart from the other day. Someone found this... So there's this guy from quite a big church in America, and like they tour around, like they're musicians.
Right, okay.
And he's a Trump supporter, and had gone into a smoothie shop and asked them to make them just like an orange smoothie. And he's like, don't you just do like an orange, I just want like an orange smoothie. Can't I just have that? And they said, no, it's not something we do. And he's like, we've got oranges on the counter. Can you not just do it? I'll pay whatever you want me to pay. That's what I want. It's not on your menu, but will you do it?
Mm.
And he put that on Facebook. And this one girl just laid into him. She's like, oh, I can't believe he's supposed to be this man of God who's supposed to, you know, and you can't talk to people like that. And he's like, well, so what? He went into a shop and asked for a smoothie. Like, really? Is that what you're getting angry about? Is that someone went in and
it's so petty, the things that people want to like.
It's really...
Like, really, is this the hill you want to die on? Like that, the smoothie debate. Like... The things that it's always a different thing with this like culture of internet of like new, that'll be forgotten tomorrow and it'll be something else for someone to jump on.
Mm.
Be someone else for someone's lives they can destroy. It'll be someone else, someone else. And it's like that one day where it was that guy's turn and you just like fucked up something in his life. The next day you're interested in something else and you're going to attack someone else, but he's still got the repercussions of that because it was like you had nothing else to do on the internet but have a go at this dude. And, I think it's a real mess.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't get involved in debates on social media.
Basically, the one thing I do agree with Tol, and I think this is paramount, this is something everyone should practice, it's your self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should be able to discipline themselves in just social conduct, just the way they are with other human beings. Like, you can't do it all the time, we're not perfect, but try hard to not be a prick. Basically, that's my slogan. Try hard to not be a prick.
Well, I had a really nice message from a listener recently.
All right.
Who just said they like that we chat and everything, but they said the main thing they like about us is that we all seem like really kind people.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like, that's such a simple compliment, but a really, like, that is a real compliment.
Yeah.
For someone just say, like, you all seem like really kind people.
That's lovely.
I'm like, that's really nice. Really appreciate that.
I think it's, I try to be kind. I think it's about being honest with yourself as well. If you've been a prick, to try and own up for it and have discipline.
That's
over,
something I was trying to do.
That. And like, so there was one. So the morning of the Pod Awards, I went to McDonald's and it was heaving, absolutely heaving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you're in a car park and you're waiting to take someone's space, but then they start reversing unexpectedly. So you're like, oh shit! Now I've got to reverse.
Yeah, yeah.
I did that and I checked and didn't see anyone. Turns out there was a guy in my blind spot at the back of my car. And he smacked the back of my car. And so I punched it. But quite aggressively, like, what are you doing? So I ran down my window and he's like, you nearly ran me over. I said, why are you walking behind a reversing car? He's like, I couldn't see you reversing. I'm like, got my reverse lights on. I was getting a bit aggressive with him, like, and so I went and parked the car, and in my head I was like, what a prick, like, obviously didn't mean to run him over, like, I didn't even hit him. He was like, oh, you were really close to me, and I was like, I was just heading into McDonald's, and I looked at him, and I was like, I'm gonna go and apologise, and I apologised to him, and we had a really nice conversation for like 10 minutes afterwards, and he was the same. He was like, yeah, I didn't really need to be this, you know, I didn't have to talk to you the way I did, and maybe I didn't need to walk behind you, you know, and I realised you didn't mean it and all this kind of stuff. And I think that is, at its simplest form, that's essentially what this guy's saying. You know, try to manage your emotions in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree with that, can't we?
I can agree with that.
I would have knocked him out. I'm joking. No, I'm joking. I would have. I'm joking. Just kidding. I forgot what point I was going to make, apart from, I was going to say, Tol actually cites a lot of Jesus quotes in his book. I couldn't, you know, when you're listening to something, I ran work and I was just like,
Jesus, lost it, rag.
Totally forgot because I wanted to say them to you and then see what you thought Jesus was saying then and what he thought Jesus, and then saying about turn the other cheek. I'm going to put on another dude, Sag the Guru.
Okay.
Quickly and see what he's saying. He's talking about this other thing and the way to enlightenment is to, I don't know.
Love.
Yeah. He's just saying something about the mind as well.
Okay.
I'm aware of all of the ways that I mess with myself, my nonsense. And create a lot of pain for myself. So I'm just going towards awareness, but experiencing the pain of the mind. How might someone address that?
See, the content of your mind is not your choice, is it? Is it your choice? Really? The content of your mind, is it your choice? Really? Please control it and show me. And it's not worked. The content of your mind is decided by where you are, isn't it? Everything that's around you gets into it. You have no choice about what you gather. And what you have gathered in your mind goes far beyond your present levels of perception. But everything that the five senses come in touch with, it gathers. In wakefulness and in sleep, it gathers. It is just that most of it is not in the form of conscious memory, so you do not know, but it's all there. So the content of your mind is not by choice. It has happened. Whatever you were exposed to has been absorbed by the mind. It's just soaked up everything that it came in touch with. Now, what is hurting you is just this. You want to think about God, but your mind thinks about something else. This is your pain, isn't it? And she's trying to control her mind. Somebody is trying to discipline their minds. All of you have tried in some way or the other. Has it worked? That's a question. Has it worked? Now, next 10 minutes, I will tell you what are the things you should not think about. Will it work? No. So there is no point trying to fix the garbage bin. When I refer to the mind as garbage bin, I am not saying it is not useful. Is garbage bin very useful in your house? Is it very useful? You can live without a television. You can even live without a telephone. But you can't live without a garbage bin, isn't it? Most essential, isn't it? Now that it's so useful, you decided to sleep in it tonight. Because it's such a wonderful thing. So important it is, so you decided to sleep in it. Now your life will be terrible, isn't it? That's all that's happened to you. This is a fantastic instrument. Anything and everything that it comes in touch with, it's storing it up for you, for your use. But now you're sleeping in it, you're living in it, so it's big trouble. Big time, not small time. If you could keep the garbage bin in such a way, then when you want to use it, you can open it. When you don't want to use it, you can shut it and keep it there. That would be great, isn't it? Now the problem is it's always open. Not only it's open, you are in it. You have to crawl out of it now. Don't try to fix the garbage bin. You want to empty it? No, all the dirty things in my mind, let them go. If they go away, you will start exploring all the same dirty things once again because they're new. All the dirty things, please keep it in your mind. They're very important. The dirtiest and the filthiest of things on this planet, they're very important. They must be in your mind. If you have your discretion, you don't walk into it. Yes? All the filthy things must be there in your mind. But if you don't live there, there is no problem. But you live there, that is the problem.
So what do you think of that?
I like that.
Mm.
I thought he was quite an interesting guy.
Yeah. So he's talking about kind of the same,
isn't
it?
He's saying use your mind as you use any part of your body.
Yeah. But it's being able to...
But he's using it as it is.
Use it rather than...
Be it.
Be it, yeah. So that's why
really
the... So the episode is so hard to name because
well, I
it's
thought
like,
we'd call it. I just thought before I was watching that, like, because you've showed different philosophies, so we just call it like philosophies of the mind or mind philosophies, or something like that.
Because
it's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a million videos I could show you on it, but it would just be listening to loads of other people talk about it. But
well, if there's any that are particularly good, what's happened to me, I can put them on the blog.
Yeah,
for the listeners.
Alan Watts is someone who's really good to listen to. He talks for a long time about stuff and.
If there's any, I'll tell you what, I've got 2 weeks to edit this.
Yeah.
If there's any clip you really think, oh, that's a really good one, send it to me and I'll put it after
the
outro
music. That's
a
real doozy.
Yeah, I'll put it after the outro music. Like, cool. Sometimes I did that with the ghost stories. I had a really long ghost story I wanted to put, didn't really fit in the episode. I said, hang around after the outro music. There's an extra 10-minute story. Boom. I can do that with an extra mind clip.
Sweet. So, what did you think, Beef?
Yeah, I think that probably sits...
A bit better
with me. I think it's more realistic.
Yeah,
what he's saying is more realistic. Like, you, the way you use your mind is important. And you know, just because you have, even if it's not pain, just because you have something in your mind that you're not keen on, it doesn't mean you can't use it, you can't manage it, or you can't you know.
And like he says, if you block it out, it'll only come back again in another way.
Yeah.
You're never going to block an emotion out completely because you're a human being.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I don't think it's fair to say I disagree with Toll completely, but I think that feels more manageable. It feels more like a realistic way of putting it.
That was almost at complete odds to Toll. Toll saying this isn't useful to you at all.
And he's saying it is useful.
Everything's useful to you.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear two viewpoints.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Another thing I missed out about Toll, actually, the way that he said about fighting the pain body was being present in the now, because his sort of catchphrase is that the pain body can only exist in the past or the future. It can't exist in the now. Like, it can't manifest in the now.
Right. Okay.
So, and it's like that he said about you store up all these memories, things in the past, but sometimes... if you live too much in those memories, or, you know, like, I don't know, if your life sucks at some point and you go, oh, well, it didn't suck like 2 years ago, like, I feel I'm going backwards. Stuff like that can, like, really drag you down. It has done me in the past.
Yeah.
Where you compare your current self to other self.
Yeah, what have I done wrong now? Because I was happy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it is.
Where
it's like,
did I go wrong?
Living in the past can be as destructive as well. So the only way to battle that is to live in the now and sort of accept that the only time you're ever alive is really now. Mm-hmm. It's never then or here. It's always this moment. Do you know what I mean? So, like, the past is only an illusion, really. We don't actually know it actually happened.
And you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Because the past could not have happened ever.
What's happening to you now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could die tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So don't worry about what's going to happen the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all becoming philosophers.
I'll leave, I'm thinking of, so I told you, just in case you didn't hear the episode last week on, or 2 weeks ago on Rasputin, I mentioned about my friend Simon, who I used to work with occasionally at New Wine, and like they unfortunately died a few weeks ago, and that was, but that was something that seemed to click into place for him. It was just this idea of, well, these are the cards I've been dealt with, so I may as well just... be positive with what
if
I've
someone
got.
Says you've got X amount of time to live, why spend that wallowing in the fact that
exactly. And I think this is why I really, really struggle with people that have like a victim mentality.
Right.
I'm trying to be, I don't want to be really dismissive because I, you know, in some ways I don't understand it. You know, we've just been talking about how complex the mind is.
I can always cut it.
Yeah. But I think there's a difference between people like who have had a really like shitty life and you look at it and you're like, okay, fair enough, and you're like, but there are people who have gone through stuff which is difficult but it's not the, you know, you can recover from it and they choose to go back to it, they choose to and in that sense I would probably refer them to Toll, be like, you need to listen to this dude because you can't go on living like
you're
that.
Letting your pain body take over.
You're
just a vessel for
keep feeding it and you're gonna live in the past forever.
Yeah, I think it works for people who are really identified to the point where like, you know...
That's what I meant at the beginning when I said it's like a meditation for people who need direction.
Yeah,
and they
can't
move on their own.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's...
There's not going to be much rubs this week. No, even though there's been a lot of like silly talk, I feel like it's in fitting with the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's like a discussion episode.
I might have
to
dig into some old files for Rubs again.
Yeah, no, that was really, it was really interesting. Mm. That was really refreshing to try and get my thoughts out.
Yeah.
I just wanted to somehow incorporate this stuff that I'm really interested in into an episode, because I think the listeners will really enjoy being exposed to that sort of.
Mm. And if they don't,
but it is like it is a kind of like I don't subscribe to Toll's ways. I couldn't be like he is, but that's just different personalities. You know, he finds it useful to be totally not feeding his pain body, but maybe he's more susceptible to being, you know, his pain body might be more destructive than mine. So like he says about action films them being like for pain bodies. Maybe I've got my pain body in such a position where I can watch an action film and it doesn't quite. But if he does, then it's feeding a pain body and the pain body's bad for him. So if he feeds something that's bad for him, it's... That's why I use the analogy at the start with weed. Like, I find weed super helpful, but some people find it super not helpful, like paranoia-inducing this and that. So it's like different teachings aren't for everyone.
That's why I didn't take drugs, because I knew I'd be the statistic in the paper.
Mm.
I'll be the guy that did it wrong.
That's what everyone says.
Yeah, but I know.
Did it wrong.
I don't listen to instructions very well. Like, if it's something I have to...
Instructions.
The ones in the papers are usually the one that do it right, repetitively.
If I was in a survival situation, and it was me and you, and for some reason you were, like, a survival expert.
Right.
If you had me by the shoulders and you're like, we can get through this, but you have to do exactly what I say,
and I'm like, I'm gonna go and get some food, I'm gonna go and forage, I need you to build a tent to do it, you need to do this and this, I'll be back in like 2 hours,
not necessarily,
and I come
that.
Back and you're just, if like it was a like, bundle of twigs,
for example, like no like a bit more extreme, so like there was like a bear,
right, okay.
Right, you'd be like, we can survive this, but you
have
to do
yourself,
right? I would be like, oh, I might as well just let the bear eat me, because I can't in that. Like,
I can be like that. I'm very defeatist. I never... Becca says you...
It's not really defeatist. It's just
many
like,
times I'm on a plane and they tell me how to survive in a plane crash.
Yeah.
I always just think, I'm not listening to this, because if a plane starts crashing, I'm probably going to die. If a plane started crashing, I'd be like, I'm going to die. I wouldn't think, oh, I've got to try and survive. I'd be like, oh, this is it.
Well, it depends on the situation, But I'm not very good. So, yeah, when I did the like bodyboarding down a river, I didn't listen to the instructions and got sucked into a river.
You said about this on the
show. Yeah. So just I know
you
if I did drugs I'd
that.
Do it wrong.
You tried to tell us about that twice.
Yeah, I know. Interesting stuff to see.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Awesome.
I had no
when you started talking about it at the beginning, I thought, how are we gonna film an episode on this?
Yeah.
And we could go for like another hour,
definitely.
It is one of those things that is very thought-producing, productive.
Okay, so, Tissy, you wrapping up?
Yeah, wrapping up, yeah.
You done then? That was it? Just you
yeah, I'm done,
up.
yeah.
He's done.
That's everything.
Listener of the week.
Yep.
I don't think we should give it to Anthony Anderson.
Not this week.
How about... I got quite a few emails this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a couple over to you. Should we just give it to one of our nice email messages persons this weekend?
Nice, yeah.
The first one that came up when I looked to try and get the names was Matthew Stanford, who emailed us this weekend just to say hi, which I always love. I love people just getting in contact just to say hi. I listen to the show. I like it.
Yeah.
And whatever. And then he sent me a cool suggestion for a show as well.
Sweet.
So Matthew Stanford, your listener of the week.
Da-da-na-na.
Should I make a jingle for it?
I'll just do it. Da-da-na-na.
Oh,
I went a higher key then. That was too high.
Yeah. It'll do. I'm going to get all three of them and layer them together. And that's Listen to the Week jingle.
Cool.
I don't know if that's good or not.
Yeah.
If someone played that after I got an award, I don't know if I'd be happy with it.
Listen to the Week.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up. It's getting late.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find us online, weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. You can find all the videos that Tiss posted. I'm going to put some bonus ones on there. Every week, every episode, every other week, every episode, there is a post on there that accompanies the episode and it has all the videos and recommendations and waffle and shit that we talk about on the show. Links to it all. It's all on there. You watch the little monk video, at least, because that was really cool, the one about the monkey brain.
That was really helpful.
Yeah, I
really
like
the monk telling you about stuff. It's interesting. It's fun. So go on there. And if you go on that website, I always say it's on the right-hand side, but I realise if you're on your phone, it's right at the bottom. Mm. So if you're on the computer, on the right, if you're on your phone, at the bottom. But there's little buttons, and you can find all the links to where you can listen. iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, you already listen to other places anyway. You can also find a button to donate. There's a button that says donate, and you can help out the show. And there's also a button that links you to Patreon, or you can go on patreon.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable, and you can set up a monthly subscription to us, and you get Rubs, which we sometimes mention, which is when we record an episode, I edit it, and I now keep all the off-topic nonsense, the stuff that doesn't make it to the show, unedited, goes into a little mini pod for every episode.
You lucky, lucky people.
Yeah, for Rubs. And some people really enjoy it for some reason. But it's about 15 to 20 minutes long posts of waffle. To accompany the
sounds nice.
The shows, yeah. You get that if you subscribe. And you also get original music once a month and bits and bobs, and you get to vote on episodes and stuff, like the Rasputin one last week.
Mm. Thanks, Emma.
Yeah. And if you want to email us, that's the other one. I was new, there's one more. Oh, and also there's links to our Twitters and Facebooks on the website. If you want to email us directly, it's unexplainableuk@mail.com. Say hi, suggest something, whatever. Tell us you hate us if you want. One more thing. Bob, I promise it's the last one. If you're on iTunes... go and send us a rating and a review.
The end.
The end. So, Tis, send us out.
I eckhart you.
No,
I'm not accepting that.
Not having that.
Tell you later.
Tell you later.
Until next time, mind how you go. Use that one.
I used that one about one. 3 times.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Terrible.
See you later.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, cool.
I'm done with the pun endings. Oh. I haven't done an ending in so long.
No.
Like, I feel like I've just, I was like, when was the last time I've heard a pun ending?
So then let's consider, first of all, what is a mind in the grip of vicious circles? Well, one of the most obvious instances that we all know is the phenomenon of worry. The doctor tells you that you have to have an operation. And that has been set up so that automatically everybody worries about it. But since worrying takes away your appetite and your sleep, it's not good for you. But you can't stop worrying. And therefore you get additionally worried that you are worrying. And then, furthermore, because that is quite absurd and you are mad at yourself because you do it, you are worried because you worry because you worry. That is a vicious circle. So now, can you allow your mind to be quiet? Isn't it difficult? Because the mind seems to be like a monkey, jumping up and down and jabbering all the time. Once you've learned to think, you can't stop. And an enormous number of people devote their lives to keeping their minds busy and feel extremely uncomfortable with silence. When you're alone, nobody's saying anything. There's nothing to do. There's this worry, this lack of distraction. I'm left alone with myself. And I want to get away from myself. I'm always wanting to get away from myself. That's why I go to the movies. That's why I read mystery stories. That's why I go after to girls or anything that you do, or get drunk or whatever. I don't want to be with myself. I feel queer. So, well, why do you want to run away from yourself? What's so bad about it? Why do you want to forget this? Why do you want to become absurd? Because you are addicted to thoughts. This is a drug. A real dangerous one. Compulsive thinking, going on and on and on and on and on all the time. It's a habit. So there's a difficulty about stopping that activity. And you really have to stop it if you want to be sane. Because if I talk all the time, I don't hear what anyone else has to say. Then I'll end up in the situation of having nothing to talk about but my own talking. or so in exactly the same way, if I think all the time, I won't have anything to think about except thoughts. So in order to have something to think about, there are times when you simply must stop thinking. Well, how do you do that? The first rule is don't try to. Because if you do, you will be like someone trying to make rough water smooth with a flat iron. And all that will do will stir it up. So, in the same way as a muddy, turbulent pool quiets itself when left alone, you have to know how to leave your mind alone. It will quiet itself.
Oh, when she comes in on that dragon.
Right! Get out!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.